Good morning. The subject of this morning is perhaps the most difficult subject of this week, about the working principles of the medicaments. How work the medicaments we prescribe as anthroposophical doctors? It's very important that we understand it, that we can think what we do. And that's for three reasons, at least. In the first place, if we understand what we do, we have at last the possibility to be responsible for it. If you don't understand what you do, you can't be responsible for it. In the second place, it will be possible then to be enthusiastic about what you do. And that means that you give, as Rudolf Steiner once expressed it, a soul to the medicament. Dem Heilmittel eine Seele mitgeben. And in the third place, it will be possible, if you understand what you do, that you find new medicaments. That you have the medicines in development. A rational therapy is what we are looking for. Now, in homeopathy and in allopathy, the medicaments have their foundation on experiments, not on thoughts. You know, in homeopathy, there's a substance which is given to a certain amount of test persons. Then they get certain symptoms. And the symptoms which are most common, they are the symptoms which, if a patient shows them, will be helped by just the same substance. Similia, similia, curantur. And the symptoms in homeopathy are not only bodily symptoms, that you are sweating, or that you are very warm, or that you have pain above your right eye, or things like that. But also the symptoms have to do with have a relation with the surrounding, are a reaction to what in the surrounding happens, if it's cold, or if it's warm, or if it's dry, or if it's wet. And even, that it is very interesting, I think, there's a relation to sleeping and waking. What happens in the night? What happens if you are awake? Very interesting. And also soul symptoms are described, that you are depressive, or that there is a tendency to cry, or that you have paranoia, or that there is elation, or that you are too rigid. So the human being, in his bodily appearance and also in his soul appearance, is described and treated. And that makes that the homeopathic therapist says, we do a holistic medicine. We treat the human being as a whole. And then they describe a phosphotype or a pulsatilla type. And they are not speaking about phosphor or about pulsatilla. They are not speaking about the mineral kingdom or the plant kingdom. They are speaking about human beings and calling them phosphor type or pulsatilla type. They are describing a constitutional type and giving it a name of a plant or a mineral. And if you ask them to speak about pulsatilla or to be speak about phosphor, they wouldn't know something about pulsatilla or phosphor. They know something about this human beings. There's a big cleft, a big gap yawning between the human being and nature. And this gap has to be bridged by thinking, but that's not done in homeopathy. And in allopathy, it's just the opposite. There is looked at nature, at certain substances, and they are described in their chemical and in their physical possibilities. And now there is taken such a substance, perhaps it's changed a little bit chemical, and then it's given to a test person. And then to this test objects, mostly are not human beings, but that are animals, is seen what is happening then. But the attention is paid to that in the test object, which is calculable. So what is calculable on Earth? The mineral kingdom is calculable. The plant kingdom is calculable. That's the right word, huh? Because it has the laws of heredity. The animal kingdom is calculable because it has this behavioristic laws. The only realm on Earth which is not calculable, the only realm where the revolutions can take place, is the human realm. But this is eliminated. Double blind experiments are done so that just what is not calculable is left out. So there you have a medicine which looks at nature and tries to keep out the human being. Just the opposite. In homeopathy, one looks at the human being and forgets nature. And in allopathy, one looks at nature and forgets the human being. And anthroposophic medicine is just trying to build the connection between the two and to understand what is happening. And Rudolf Steiner very much recommended that you, just as allopathy and homeopathy, do control what you are doing, that you verify if it's correct what you have thought, so that you have great numbers where you use a certain medicament. For instance, Viodoron, he wanted to have it tested in the normal scientific way. Thousands of people using Viodoron and then statistically proving that it helps. Rousseau wanted to do that also as a part of the science you use. Now, Rudolf Steiner spoke of certain models, how you could understand how medicaments work. He spoke about several, and the great difficulty and the great challenge for us is that you bring those different models into one picture, that you understand them together. And I won't say that I know how this can be done. I have much doubt still about what I found there, but I hope that you will help me and that we can take one step further in bringing these different models together. But the best is to start to understand how a medicament works if you begin with nourishment, feeding. We all know that if you take a substance in, you have to digest it. That means you have to conquer all qualities of the substance you get in. Everything has to be built down. Otherwise, the substance will conquer you. If you eat too much of a normally healthy food, you can get sick because it conquers you. In the conquering of the qualities of the substance lays the nourishing force. And as long as we have this possibility to conquer substance, we will live. And if we have not anymore the possibility to conquer the nourishment, we die. Because the nourishment brings our body into movement. It brings it the physiological processes in movement. And if that stops, our body comes to a standstill and dies. Well, you could compare it with a boxer. You know, a boxer needs sparring partners to have the victory later on. He must remain in movement, and not one sparring partner, but many. Well, we have at least 3, even 4 sparring partners in our nourishment. The carbohydrates, the proteins, the fats, and the minerals. They are the 4 sparring partners, but much better is a living sparring partner. Now, I have looked in the book that Rudolf Steiner wrote together with Ita Wegman, The Fundamentals of Therapy, what Rudolf Steiner says there about therapy. And half of the book is about therapy. And it's very interesting to look at this book. If you look at it with the point of view of finding the therapeutic models, you find that this book has a wonderful composition. And as you know, that Rudolf Steiner said this is the book for the future mystery medicine, which we must read every year at least once. Then you gradually find that it has a very special composition. You know, it starts with the inner path. That's the first chapter. Quite contrary to all other books where the inner path is always at the end. Theosophy, occult science, it's at the end. Here it's at the beginning. You can only become an anthroposophical doctor if you first have become an anthroposophist. That would be one explanation why it is at the beginning. And then the second chapter, why does man become ill? And the answer is because he is a human being which has consciousness, which is the soul and the spirit. That's the reason why he becomes ill, and why he can become healthy also again. And then there's a chapter about life, about the sentient organism, and about a human being. There the etheric realm, the astral realm, and the ego realm are developed. And then comes this wonderful chapter about blood and nerve, where you see the 2 Hibernian pillars. And then the 7th chapter is the first chapter about healing, the nature of healing effects. And after that, you get 4 chapters, and they are about nourishment. Activities within the human organism, diabetes mellitus, carbohydrates, function of protein in the human body and albuminuria, proteins, the function of fat in the human organism, and then the forming of the human body and gout. So there you see the 4 sparring partners we have, which is also the cause of illness, but also the possibility to get healthy. And then construction and excretion in the human organism. And from then on, all the next chapters are only about therapy. One chapter about curative eurythmy. That's new, not only about substantial therapy, but also the curative eurythmy here appears. And then one chapter, the cases of illness. That's partly about pathology and partly about therapy. So at least a half of the book is of therapy. Now we know that in healing, diet can play a special role. If you have a healthy organism, you give raw food to have a good boxing match, to get healthy again. But you won't do that if somebody has been very ill. Then you give him something very easy, broth, beef tea, or fruit, or a biscuit with young cheese. The beginning of the training program. And later on a little bit more difficult. And it's always wonderful for a housewife to have the possibility to give a meal where you have something of the fruits, something of the leaves, something of the roots, because then you refresh the totality of the organism. Now, in the book, it is seventh chapter, the first chapter about the healing processes, says the following. He says, in connection with the chapter before about blood and nerve, that in the human organism, in the nerve substance, in the nerve processes, are, so to say, processes which make ill. And opposite to these nerve substance, nerve processes are the blood processes, which carry the possibility of growth, which carry the possibility of metabolism, but also have in them the possibility to heal as an extra force in the blood processes. The nerve processes are especially drained by the astral body, and these sickening processes go over the whole body. And the ego and the blood processes are reigned by the ego organization and are, so to say, conquering, healing the sickness which is brought by the nerves. And how is that done by the blood processes? That is done because in the blood is iron. But the iron which is contained in the blood is of such nature that it tends to become mineral. That it tends to become nature. That it has a strong tendency to become crystallized. And that is not possible in the human body. So the ego organization has to work on the iron so that it becomes human. And by doing that, it develops this extra forces. Healing is always making something extra which heals the sickening tendencies of the nerve system. So you could say the hierarchies have built in our organism a healing process by giving us the iron. And while the ego organization has to conquer this iron, it develops this processes. For other illnesses, we have to bring into the body substances from outward. For the sickness processes of the nervous system, it's already in the organism. For the other illnesses, it has to be brought in. And Rudolf Steiner then gives an example. If, for instance, the astral body is going too deep in the metabolic system and you have there cramps and you have there stockungen, blocks in the movement of the intestines, right? Too much consciousness, then you can give a plant, anachalis, the scarlet pimpernel, But you can also give, he says, the substances which are in this plant, potassium, sodium, in connection with sulfur. He there already describes a new making of medicaments, we will come to that later in the week. Kalium sulfuricum comp. And while the ego organization has to conquer these new substances which come in, sodium, potassium, kalium, therefore this astral body is taken here on his back and called to order. So you see, in a way, a nourishing process specialized becomes a healing process. Now, that was the 7th chapter. I already said the 8th, 9th, 11th, and 10th chapter are about nourishment. And then you come to the next chapter about the healing processes, which is called On the Essential Nature of Illness and Healing, the 13th chapter. And that's very interesting. That is treating the relation of the astral body to the ether body. So in this 7th chapter, was spoken about the ego organization as the healing principle. In this, what did I say? 13th chapter. It's about astral body in connection with the ether body. And he says there, if the ether body is getting too weak, then in the relation the astral body will be too strong and you get ill. So illness has much to do with the relation of astral body and ether body. And what you can do then is to try to change this relation. And that has to do with waking and sleeping. Because the relation of astral body and ether body is a relation of astral body ego organization and ether body physical organization. If they are together, you are awake. If they are going from each other, you are sleeping. So the healing has very much to do with sleeping and awakening. And that's important. Just stand still a short moment with that. If astral body and ego organization don't succeed in penetrating etheric body and physical body, you have illness. For instance, if you have an intoxication with medicaments or with nourishment, then the ego organization and astral body can't come in. They are not allowed to be in. Somebody else is there. If you have a nephrosis, ego organization, astral body can't come in. If you have a carcinoma, the same situation is there. If you have a wound, you can't awake, so to say. And that's the way you can understand that Rudolf Steiner in the pastoral medical course says that sleeping is the real sick-making situation. And that coming in of the astral body and the ego organization is, so to say, getting healthy. That's difficult to understand. And still, it is so. Because if you see all these feverish illnesses, what is happening? The ego organization is diving into the body and is healing. So all these healing processes where ego organization and astral body are connecting themselves much stronger with the physical body and the etheric body are the healing processes, the bodily healing processes. but you have also another way of getting better. And that is, if you are hindered to enter with your ego organization and your astral body into your physical etherical situation, then your ego and your astral body are learning, are developing. That's, so to say, the healing in the inner sense. All that illnesses that never heal in the physical sense, all the degenerative illnesses, all the, most of the carcinomas, where you never get better in the bodily sense, you get better in another area. You are developing yourself innerly. You understand what I mean? So incarnating is in a way getting better, or in the bodily sense, or in the inner sense. Now, one of the examples Rudolf Steiner describes, where you have this incarnating gesture through which you are healed, or through which you are healing yourself, is in the example of the Gensido. Or let's say, how do you pronounce that? Gensido. Ah, that's very musical. Gensido. You know, Gensido is this medicament which is...
Can I say it's Gensido and not Gensido?
I would prefer also Gensido, but I follow the customs of the country. Gensido. It's used for allergic diseases. And allergic diseases are those diseases where, so to say, the human being has difficulty to keep its own identity upright. So the ego organization has difficulty to remain itself. The outer world is coming too much in. It can't defend itself, and then you have this allergic reactions. There are much more in our days, allergic diseases. On the one hand, because there are so many things for which we are allergic, but also because the ego organization is in danger, has more difficulty to incarnate. And you see it especially in young age, when the ego organization is not yet so much in, and often in later age it's overcome. The allergic tendencies are overcome. That's the one hand. The ego organization is not enough in, is not incarnated enough. And in connection with that, also the astral body is too loose incarnated. It's sensing too much. It knows within an hour when the rogue, how do you say that? The rye is, and if you enter a house and you are in the portal, you know that on the second floor is a cat. So great the astral body is. He has so much sensitivity for the things which are around. So you must bring the astral body in. How do you do that? With acid, sour. Acid is the substance which helps the astral body to incarnate. And therefore you have to give to these young children who have this difficulty of allergy, not sweet nourishment, but sour nourishment. You give them sour milk, and not normal milk, to get them in. And you give them, for instance, a little bit of lemon. because the lemon has this sour acid quality. If you look at the lemon plant, you see how it does it. If the lemon is blossoming, he's doing a little bit the same as a person who is allergic. You know from 2 miles distance that the lemon is blossoming. So big is his astral sphere. You smell it. You perceive the scent. And then when it has blossomed, it has become so broad, then it contracts and makes this acid and makes this thick peel. And, well, he does this. Oh. That's what acid does. Contracting. And that also does the quince, making a thick peel. Closing up. So that's the one thing you give to the patient. And Rustenner said you can also look at not from the astral aspect, but also from the ego aspect. And then he says, then you must look to the substances which are in lemon and in quince. Then you must look to the potassium and to the calcium and to the silica, which call upon the ego organization to work and to enter the body. That is what is called the counter thrust principle. Gegenstoß. And that you find in many medicaments. Not only in the Gensaido, but also, for instance, in the iron, which is in Biodoron. Bidor. Because this iron in Bidor, so to say, tames the metabolic processes which go up when you have the migraine. It makes you more awake. Iron, on the moment that iron comes into the physiology of the blood, then the beings who have this become more awake. In the lower animal kingdom, you have still copper as the metal which is in the circulatory fluid. But on the moment that iron replaces the copper, then you see an awakening of the consciousness in the animal kingdom. That can sometimes be difficult. I remember I had a patient who had a migraine, and I always gave this patient 3 times a week ferrum siderium comp. That's the Bidar in injection. And he came every morning every second morning to the practice to have this injection, and everything went well. There was not migraine anymore. And then on a certain moment he had not the possibility to come early in the morning, so he came in the afternoon, and the migraine stayed away, but he couldn't sleep anymore. He was too awake because of the counter-thrust principle. Well, you know, also with mistletoe therapy in the form of Iskadar, it is an incarnating therapy, and therefore it's important that if it is possible, you give it in the morning hours, so that this process of incarnating of the ego organization and the astral body is, so to say, helped. Now you can also reckon to this principle all the plants who form poisons. I'll describe an example, aconite. Look at the aconite, which grows best in the mountains, along the brooches, no? along the brooks with much light. And you see how it comes up then. I have aconites in my garden. They just... I have not garden in the mountains, but you can also bring them to the lowland, to the Netherlands. But if you look at this aconite, it's wonder. It's like a spring, like a fountain. So all water in the beginning. Yeah, it's like a fountain, plant fountain. But then you see in these leaves is the light coming in and cutting in. You know these leaves of the aconite, not as strong as with the Achillea millefolium, but still much cut in because the light forces are working so strong. In the meanwhile, the root is growing, thickening, because you need the root for the medicament. And then on a certain moment you see the blossom with this deep violet color, and we call it in Holland the cowl of the monk. The monk cowl.
Monk's hood.
Yeah? There you see what happens. You see there's something like a helmet. And what does this helmet? You see just an image what the plant does. All those illnesses where the processes of the metabolic system, of the warmth, of the water, are coming up and going to the head, making otitis, or making neuralgias, or making sinusitis, or making a pneumonia. You put a helmet on it. Counterfrost. All those plants who make poisons are plants where the astral body has come in too deep. And if we get this plant in us, our astral body is also much more engaged than with healthy plants. Our astral body is, so to say, called upon to awake. And that's a healing process in this respect. Well, there are other poisonous plants, for instance, belladonna, which works in the same way. Rudolf Steiner even describes the belladonna as a plant which helps the awakening of the human being. But also plants which are not so very poisonous belong, in my opinion, to the same process. For instance, calendula. Is that, yeah, calendula? This plant, which if you have it once in your garden, you can't get rid of, because it is so an usurer. It grows and grows and grows, and then leaf after leaf, and then suddenly this dark orange flower bit, which brings the growth to stand still. And which has the force to counter thrust. It's not so poisonous. But if you have, for instance, a child with such very red buttocks, erythema natum, I often say to the mother, look how it is blossoming. But I have still a better blossom to counterattack. And then they get calendula ointment. Now in this 13th chapter, Rudolf Steiner speaks about these two possibilities to make something healthy again. If there is a problem with the astral body, which is always the cause of illness, then you can make, on the one hand, the ether body stronger. That's the one portal of healing, using the ether body. Or, on the other hand, you can make the ego organization stronger, so that it puts down the working of the astral body. Now, if you take, for instance, phosphor, to strengthen the activity of the ego organization, and it puts down the too strong working of the astral body, and you are getting awake. Phosphor is a typical substance to get awake. If you have these children which are always dreaming, you give them a low potency phosphor in the morning. Or if you have these children who are so sleepy that they can't stand upright and have rickets, you give them also phosphor. Or this cult fooding South in Calcon 1, where is phosphor in connected with Calcon. And on the other hand, if you want to strengthen the ether body, as the Rav Steiner describes it in this 13th chapter, you give sulfur. Because sulfur brings a stronger connection of the ether body with the physical body. And they become so strong that they say to the astral body and the ego organization, please go away, you are not welcome. If you are too lively, yeah, if you have too lively etheric body, for instance, if you have eaten so much, or if you have been in too much oxygenous surroundings, then you get sleepy. Because if the ether body gets strong, he dismisses the astral body. So there you see this process of sleeping and waking together with the astral body and the ether body in this 13th chapter. And I could think that if you place opposite to the poisonous plants, the healthy plants, which we also use for medicaments, you, so to say, strengthen the etheric body. So if you, for instance, take chicory, or chamomile, or all these wonderful healthy plants, which are nevertheless healing plants, that you strengthen, so to say, the totality of the etheric health. Now, then in the next chapter, Rudolf Steiner speaks, in the 14th chapter, an approach to the therapeutic way of thinking. And there he speaks about silica. If you have not enough silica, you are getting ill. If you have too much silica, you are getting ill. So there it is necessary that you, and sometimes, are doing a substitution. You can have that with silica, you can have that also with formica, you can have that with many substances that there is not enough, and you give it, and then it's healthy again. So that's, again, another principle of healing. And then comes the next chapter, the 15th chapter, and that's called the therapeutic process. And there Rudolf Steiner gives a very new thought of therapeutic thinking. And that is only since two decades discovered by the regular medicine, this principle. And he says there, if on some place the astral body and the ego organization are connected too much, then you will have problems on another place. So he says, for instance, as an example, I can't find back in the medicine I have been learning on university. And he said, if, for instance, the ego organization and the astral body are too much engaged in the under part of the body, then it can happen that you get paralysis in the nerves on another part. I have never found a situation where I could say that that's the case. But we all know it on other levels. We all know, for instance, the paraneoplastic symptoms. That somebody is getting a paralysis in his arms, and after some time one discovers that he has a lung cancer. Or a stomach cancer. And if that is operated on, and it, there's still possible to remove it, then the paralysis of the nerves is going away. That's known since 20 years. This principle that Rudolf Steiner wrote down in 24. Or, also very well known, if you have an infection on the root of your teeth, that you get rheumatism, or are tired all day long. And if you have gone to the dentist, the only time you have not the impression that you have paid too much, but that you have been treating here, and suddenly your the whole body is healthy again. And that's the principle that Rudolf Steiner yet now says, you must treat so that you give a medicament which takes over the wrong incarnation. So on a certain place it is too deep incarnated, for instance in the kidney, the astral body is too deep incarnated, now you give equisetum, and the equisetum takes over this too deep incarnated. He says to the astral body, you just go home and rest out yourself, I'll take over the job. And after some time, the astral body is knows again what he has to do, he has recuperated, and then you can stop the medicament, and the healthy again astral body and the ego organization come into function again. Taking over. And the first principle I spoke about was the nourishment. Now you can find that on several occasions. Christa, how long do we have? 10:15?
Yes, it's still 10:15.
Still 10:15. Well, this principle is a principle where you can find things yourself. I remember I had once a patient who had so-called cervical syndrome, so pains in the neck which are stretching out to the arms, headache, and so on. And I treated, or it was treated by, with Disicomp preparations and ointment, Sera Aesculus and rhythmic massage. And it very soon went well. But after 3 months, it was back again. And then we repeated the treatment and again it was going away. But after 3 months, it was back again. So it was not the right treatment. And this was a very harmonious person. Often you find with people who have this cervical syndrome that there are people who have much problems in their emotional life. You mostly find it with women. More with women than with men. And if you find it with men, there are people who are much communicating through their feelings. And you could think that they, so to say, spend etheric forces from their middle region, and as an effect, here things are going wrong. So often I give people who have cervical syndrome in this sense cardioduron and aurum, and then things go away here. But that didn't fit with this patient because he was very harmonious. And then she came back and her complaint came back with her, and she sat in front of me, and suddenly I heard her speaking a wonderful pronunciation, and I suddenly realized she is a elocutionist, speech teacher. She was teaching on a school for deaf children. And suddenly I knew it's not so far away from the heart to hear, it's much closer. It's from the voice. She spent her speaking forces. And she lost certain forces, and therefore she got this complaints in the neck. So I had to find something which took over the speaking forces. What would you give? Pirates. Pirate. So I gave her pirate D12 as a powder, which took over, and it went away, and it never came back.
How long did you give it?
2 months. And after half a year, again 6 weeks. So taking over principle. How is that to think again, that you can take over the function of a part of the human body? Well, it's already late, so I will only say it very short. Because human organism and the whole nature around us have the same origin. And the animal kingdom was, so to say, what was left over as blueprints during our development. And all the plants also have to do with our development. And so you can find plants which are a part of our organism. The digitalis, which is a part of our heart function. Or the chelidonium, which is a part of our gallbladder function. Or the chicory. Or the equisetum, which is a part of our kidney function. And in this direction, you could say, it is possible, if you take such a plant, or you take a mineral, that it takes over its old place, and the ego organization and the astral body of the human being can have a rest. And Rudolf Steiner then says in this book, the organism has the tendency to seine Mängel auszugleichen, his shortcomings, where he has to short things that to bring it into balance again. If you take a little bit time. Now again is the question, how can you understand that? No, I'll say one thing in between. If Rudolf Steiner speaks about equisetum, or if he speaks about chicory or other plants, he always speaks about substances. He speaks about silica with the equisetum and connects it with sulfur. Or he speaks, if he speaks about anagallis, about sodium, potassium, and sulfur. That's very peculiar. And Rudolf Steiner speaks about matter. You have a book, Man or Matter. I would say Man and Matter. Rudolf Steiner is the real materialistic. The new materialism is anthroposophy. The knowledge how matter works as spirit. And the later you come into the life of Rudolf Steiner, the more he speaks about matter. In the autumn of 1923, Rudolf Steiner only speaks about matter. That's the time that he also writes this book. Now, what happens if something is taken over? What happens then with the ego and the astral body of the human being? You could say they are sent on holiday. But where to are they sent?
San Francisco.
They are sent to the place where they really belong. They're sent to their homeland. They are sent to the stars. The astral body is sent to the stars so that he can see the archetypal image of man. In very early times, the healing was accomplished by bringing man into a very deep sleep, 3 days long, that he could see the healthy image of man. And this principle, I think, is that the ego organization and the astral body of the human being is sent back, is brought in, so to say, in the healing sleep, in the temple sleep. That's something very important to think about. How can you heal people? It's also a question, how can you make them sleep with spiritual activities during the day, that they sleep in the night better? That's one way. And the other way is treating with them with substances, with matter, so that in the night they come to the archetypal situation of the health. Now, in spring of 1923, Rudolf Steiner spoke about certain things a human being can do that he sleeps better, how he can speak, how he can think, but also he speaks there about the elemental beings. And he says, if you take in the day a medicament, then in the night the elemental beings bring you to the place where this medicament has its origin. Isn't that wonderful? The elemental beings as tour operators. And so you can say that if you want to bring the several possibilities to heal in an image, you can think of the image of sleeping and awakening. And you can say this principle is the principle of awakening. And this principle is the principle of getting asleep in a good way. And I don't know exactly what to do with these two other things, but I have already a little bit said that nourishment is, so to say, working with the health of the ether body, so to say general speaking to the ether body. The ether body has always something whole, of the wholeness, of the totality. And what you do with the other things is always that you go to a certain point, and that is an astral point of view. So this is more etherical. Also, this is etherical. This is more astral. Then you again have this speaking together of astral body and etherical body. Well, to say one last thing If you work with these two processes, counter thrust or taking over, you are working with that part of a human being which has to do with the astrality, with the going into the Sonderfall, into the fall. It has to do with the moon. And the nourishment has to do with the sun, with the totality.
Can you explain it? Could you say that again?
Here you have to do with the totality, with the etheric, with a sun point of view. And here you have to do with the specializing, with the astrality, with the moon point of view. What do you think?